Thanks for listening. This is Momentum, the entrepreneurship podcast for photographers. I'm your host, Nate Grahek, portrait photographer and entrepreneur. Join me each week as I interview the most successful and inspiring photographers in our industry. We bring you innovative and proven business strategies you can use to shift the momentum in your own photography business, giving you the freedom to do more of what you love in business and in life. Today on the show, we have the one and only Jasser Aboujemi. He is the founder of the Canada Photo Convention. He's been a wedding photographer and educator for many years now. In today's episode, we talk through the really emotional story of Jasser first starting out, becoming a wedding photographer, and his journey through getting many, many shoots, but spending so much money that he went hugely into debt and it actually had to declare bankruptcy. And the experience and the wisdom that that gave him to now become a teacher dedicated to helping other photographers better understand running their photography business. Really, really awesome episode. I was really impressed with how much Jasser was willing to share with us. We also dig into a great tactic. Many of you know my favorite strategy is partnering with small business vendors. Well, he's got this great tactic of creating an actual print magazine with and for other small business vendors, especially in the wedding industry. This is a great episode packed with great stories and anecdotes, and as well some great tactics you can use and start applying right in your business. Without further ado, here's Jasser. Jasser, welcome to the show. It is so great. We've been following each other, learning from each other for a while now. I'm really excited to have you on the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So on today's show, I want to break it into two big chunks. We're going to talk just about looking at running a photography business as a business. And then we'll wrap up with some really interesting tactical strategies you have to getting photographers started on one of my all-time favorite strategies, which is building partnerships with other vendors in their community. But before we get there, let's do a quick background on how'd you get to where you're at today.
Yeah, so I started off as a wedding photographer. My sister had asked me to shoot her wedding. It's a, you know, a common story with most photographers is a family member kind of pulls you into this. So my sister asked me to be a wedding photographer for her wedding, even though I haven't shot weddings before. And then from there, things took off and I started building my business afterwards. And I just kind of went in with both feet and started shooting left and right and seeing what I liked and what I didn't like and fine tuning as I went along. And eventually I settled on just shooting weddings only, and I didn't do family or anything like that.
Right on. So it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies though. You just kind of dove in and were busy, but were you actually profitable?
No, I wasn't. I was the opposite actually. My business was building me debt the entire time. So that's kind of the hard thing about being a photographer is it's the barrier for entry for starting a photography business is very low. You know, you buy a camera, you buy a few lenses, you've got a kit, you take a workshop or whatever it is and you practice and you can start the business really quick. So that's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's good because it gets you started fast, but the bad thing about it is you don't have to do a lot of strategy and planning and learning and stuff before you take on the business, right? So I wish it was a little bit harder to get in because then that would have forced me to do a lot more study on the business side of things. Mm-hmm. So I basically just thought that the more I shot, the better I shot, you know, the nicer photos I took, the more business would come and the more customers I'd get. And that didn't turn out to be the case at all. So I kept trying to get more money in my business and build more cash flow and build more profit. I thought that the next big thing would get me there. You know, like if I took this workshop, that would get me there. Or if I owned that lens, that would get me there. Or, you know, this software or that. And it was just a constant struggle to keep purchasing because right around the corner is where I thought the profit would be. And that wasn't the case whatsoever. And there was a lot of like keeping up with the Joneses too. Like, you know, other photographers totally. I saw that had things that I wanted. I really liked that photographer. So I figured to emulate them and to duplicate their success, I had to have the same things as them. And that never works.
I think it's so, thank you for sharing. I think a lot of times just in entrepreneurial world, as well as in the photography world, I think there's this disservice that people who have achieved a certain level of success, when they just talk about like this confirmation bias, or like they only talk about the story and the things they're doing today, there's not enough people sharing about what got them, the years of mistakes and struggle and challenge and uncertainty that went in first before he kind of rounded the corner to having somewhat balanced career and business and life and actual profit. It doesn't happen overnight. And so I really appreciate you taking the time to share it both with your community you've grown and here on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nobody that's an overnight success in this business. And the very few that do get that successful that quickly, they're in the 99th percentile. They're such an incredible, incredible photographer that it worked for them. But the likelihood of that working for most other people is incredibly rare, very small chances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we put those people up on a pedestal and we put them in teaching positions and we put them up at conferences speaking and stuff like that. And I think the problem with that is that they're not efficient role models. They're not the kinds that we need to learn how to fashion our businesses from. The people we need to learn from are the people who built their business solidly, who had struggles, who had successes, right, who, you know, took the time and actually went through every step of things, right? And we can right. learn a lot from where those people were and went through.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a rant here that I've been trying to find the right time, but I've noticed, I'm not totally sure. I've got theories on how we got to where we're at in today's conference landscape, but there's this weird rule that in order to be a speaker at most photography conferences or educational platforms, that you have to be a photographer.
Yeah.
And I think that one variable I think it's limiting. I think it's like, don't we have anything else to learn from other business people and marketers outside of the photography industry? I think we get on this tunnel vision and we've got people that can make it look and appear like their business is doing okay. Just because they've grown a good photography business doesn't necessarily mean that A, they're good at business and their business is profitable. And B, even if it is, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're good at teaching it mm-hmm. to other photographers, right?
Yeah, and I mean, things can look really good from the outside too. Like there's photographers that are winning awards and getting booked for, you know, shoots all over the world and traveling to all these exotic locations and stuff like that. That does not mean that their business is bringing in a profit. It does not mean they're even paying their bills. I mean, right. they could be living in so much fear. And you know, as me and you know, and many of the listeners would know, you know, lonely's the head that wears a crown, right? When you're the one that's in charge of your business, even though it looks good to other people, it can be really scary to be the person that's responsible for all these things.
Yep. And isn't there a famous photographer who went bankrupt? Is it Ann Geddes or somebody else on that level?
Yeah. She's all the Vanity Fair covers. I can't remember her name.
It's not Ann. It was the other one.
It'll come to me. Yeah. She's incredibly famous. And yeah, she did. She went bankrupt completely and she was in a lot of debt.
And it's like you would never know that. You would never realize, and looking from the outside, and I think it's a perfect example. So before we get to where you're at now, there's one more distinction I want to lay out for the listeners. Mm-hmm. So in learning it yourself, kind of just pushing through, two things that contribute to profitability, right? It's having too high of expenses and not charging enough. Mm-hmm. Talk about those two. Were you charging enough? Were you just saying yes to any old shoot? And what were the things driving you to spend more than was coming in?
I definitely wasn't saying yes to just any old shoot, because there was a lot of things I didn't like shooting. So I was careful about that. And I think I was charging enough. I felt like I was charging enough. I mean, I was one of the more expensive people in my city. But that doesn't mean anything if your profit margin isn't high enough, right? Like you could be charging lots of money as a photographer, but if your overhead is huge, it's going to get eaten up.
Yep.
Right. So that was a huge thing for me. I think my biggest problem, to tell you the truth, is for me, it was twofold. I was not even tracking my finances or looking at it. Like I was flying blind.
Right.
That was a big problem. And the other problem is that I was in this for the affirmation. Like I liked the compliments. I liked the attention. I liked that suddenly, by becoming a photographer that was winning awards and getting attention, I became the cool guy that I wasn't in high school, you know? Yeah. And so there was nothing else in my life that brought me that. And when I had something that got me that kind of attention, I held on to it so dearly that it didn't matter if it was sacrificing my finances, right? Like I was cutting off my nose despite my face, basically, because it was just giving me so much attention that I wanted and I craved and I needed that it didn't matter if it was building me further and further in debt. And at my absolute worst, I was $118,000 in debt. Wow. I think there was like a deep psychological problem that was happening there, and I wasn't getting the help for it that I should have been. And my finances were a manifestation of that psychology, really.
Well said. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I think I can definitely relate to that. When I was first getting into photography, I was not either the cool kid in high school, and it was that attention. It's hard to put your finger on it. And for a long time, it can be such a driver without us being conscious. I like to consider myself as somewhat self-reflective, but I wasn't aware of the depths of how rewarding it can be to show somebody, to stop time for somebody, to show them how beautiful they are, or to get that reaction. And when they are not only so excited with what you've done, but they go tell all of their friends about how awesome you mm-hmm. are. Like yeah. it's definitely addicting and can really start to distract. Where I've got two small kids, and it took a really hard conversation, several of them, where I had to realize, oh wait, if I'm going to be giving up my weekends, like I only get these tiny windows with my family. If I'm trading those in, not only do I have to make sure I'm making profit, but I'm trading that time that I don't get back. And that was what finally had me start thinking about a little bit differently. But it was really ingrained, and I wasn't fully conscious of it. It's a really interesting place to start. So let's go moving into your story. Where do you recommend photographers begin?
Yeah. What are you in this for, basically? Like, what is okay. your dream to get out of this? And that has to be something that you wake up with every day and look at every single day. And that'll keep you going, right? And so for some people, you need visual cues. So for me, I actually, my assistant currently is a graphic designer. So I had her take my business plan. I had her take my goals and a lot of, you know, thank you cards and stuff I received from people, all that stuff. And I had her make them into posters, and they're actually printed up on my wall so that visually, whenever I'm in my office, I'm staring at my business plan and I'm staring at my goals, and they're all around me everywhere. Like it surrounds me. For me, that's awesome. Really helped me out to make it that visual.
That's a really cool strategy. I like that. I like the company Startup Vitamins. They do all kinds of cool quotes. And I think it's another really good mental hack is to put the things we care about and the things we've set out, like instead of just having a business plan or our goals in some Google Doc somewhere we never look at, mm-hmm. to print it out and hang it on the wall. That's really smart.
Yeah. And even like I still, and as a human being, I love affirmation. I love getting compliments and things like that. Right. But now I look at them in a much healthier way. It's not mm-hmm. so much an addiction for me. It's confirmation that I'm on the right path. So when I get a thank you note from someone who's been to the conference, or even just like a nice Facebook message or a text or something, I'll print that out and I'll put that up on the walls too, just so I can see that even on my really hard days, there is a reason behind all the work that I do.
That's cool. What do you recommend? What was it for you that had you get to that place of balance?
I would say I'm still working at that. I'm not really at a place of balance. But for me, the financial balance came from my bankruptcy and having to work through smartening up is basically what it was. Like it was a wake-up call for me. And in Canada, I don't know what it's like in the States, but in Canada, when you go through a process legally like that, you have to take things like credit counseling classes and all these different things where you're taught by professionals how to manage your finances and stuff. And that's been really, really tremendously helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think that's great. I think there's other cool resources. If you guys want to learn more about kind of taking this first step, if you're in Canada, we're going to learn more about the Canada Photo Convention at the end of the call. But there's just go over to CanadaPhotoConvention.com, and there's some great resources to start this journey of taking just a perspective shift on your business. Now let's dig into a tactical tip. I'm really excited about partnerships in our industry and how it's like this tried and true business strategy, right? It doesn't matter whether it's in music or any industry for decades, for centuries. Partnerships have been this driving force of growing a small business. What are some of the tactics you've seen effective for photographers?
So something that I cover a lot in my ebook actually is about growing your referrals through partnerships with other industry vendors. So that's, you know, if you're a wedding photographer, that's people like the wedding planners, the venues, the florists, people like that. All those people out there, just as much as you are, they're spending their entire year trying to get people to their website, you know, trying to get people to notice them. So they are going to bridal shows. They're taking out advertising. They're building up their referral base. They're striving every day to get higher on Google rankings and stuff like that. So if you can partner up with a lot of these different people, your leverage point goes from just your own reach to now this bubble of their reach. And you know, there could be four or five different planners and four or five different venues and different people like that, that you can suddenly go from being the little guy in your community to, you know, being so well networked in in communication with all these people that your reach is now like, you know, tenfold.
Yeah.
So
I have a lot of listeners that gets frustrated and stuck mm-hmm. with, I've tried reaching out to offer prints. I've tried to introduce myself, but there's other photographers that are already partnered. Like, what do you recommend? How do photographers just getting started with this strategy? How do they get their foot in the door?
Getting your foot in the door starts with offering them something of value to that person. Just altruistically, just I want to help you out kind of thing with no other motivation. You may get nothing out of it, but just something nice to do for someone else. That's going to get you noticed pretty quick, I think.
Yeah.
So something along the lines of, you know, hey, I know you're a wedding planner. If you ever need someone to shoot some tablescapes for you, I'd be happy to help.
Cool.
Or, hey, you're a florist. If you ever need me for shooting some product for you, I'd love to do that kind of thing. That's my jam.
And what do you recommend, like emails, phone calls, stopping in? What works?
Well, I don't know about in your particular area for anyone who's listening, but in my area, a lot of these businesses are just sort of home businesses. So stopping in isn't easy to do for a lot of them.
Yep.
I think an email is a good starting point. It's a great way to first introduce yourself.
Yep.
Email, unfortunately, is the easiest to ignore, but also email is the least intrusive. A lot of people nowadays don't like taking phone calls. They don't like anything else. You could do either email or if you have their address, you could actually write to them. That is a really good way to get noticed. I use a service actually for handwritten letters when I really want to get an introduction done. And it's if you go to maillift.com/Jasser, they'll give you actually like a free trial.
Nice.
But they'll write a handwritten letter on your behalf and send it out to any service that you want.
That's awesome. I like it.
And so I think that's something to try.
For a lot of photographers, the easiest thing I think is if you are already shooting weddings and just to start building that relationship, bake it into your workflow where you are following up with every single vendor that works every wedding with you, right? As in following up with detail shots, with images that you took of their stuff.
Yeah, and giving them, you know, here's a gallery of photos I took at that wedding. Feel free to grab the ones you need that they're already watermarked. Go ahead and use them for your blog if you want, that kind of thing, right?
Yep.
And build friendships. Like friendships is really what gets the job done. You don't want to just build an acquaintance. If you've got a friend on your side, they'll refer you left and right over someone who's just, you know, another vendor in the city. They want their friends to get booked before other people that they barely know. So if you can build some friendships, and it doesn't take many, even if you had one or two of every different kind, like one or two wedding planners, one or two that were venue managers, one or two florists, you know, that kind of thing, your network builds up really quick by doing that.
That's really good advice. I think that a lot of times we can get too much into like the automating the workflow, and it doesn't feel human, where it's probably to your best interest to slow down and just and really invest in an authentic friendship or a relationship with a handful of vendors versus trying to just skim the surface with a dozen.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah,
so start with that for sure. And once you've got an authentic friendship, then, you know, we can start talking about business stuff. Don't put the horse before the cart here. Like, don't just walk in there and try and start getting referrals out of them right away. You're going to push people away so fast. They're not going to like that. You wouldn't like that in your own business if people started to push their agenda on you.
Exactly. Yeah. So taking this all the way down to like a granular tactic, that you in your ebook, you talk about making a magazine. How does that work?
Yeah, so basically what you want is there's a book that I read that I really admire called Unstoppable Referrals, if anyone wants to read more about referrals from that perspective, by Steve Gordon, Unstoppable Referrals. So what he says is you want to create something called a referral kit, which is basically a way that people can take your knowledge and your expertise and share it with their contacts in a way that they can digest and just pass on really easily, and people actually want to read through it. So I think the perfect referral kit for photographers is magazines, because people like to flip through magazines. Like, we're taught from our childhood that when you go into a magazine, you're probably just going to look at the pictures, you know? And we're taught from childhood that magazines are where you go to learn about fashion and trends and see the up and coming cool things and stuff like that, right? So a magazine's perfect for photographers. And the one of the only vendors at a wedding or anything like that that can produce their own magazine is photographers. We've got, you know, an image library at our disposal. Most other people would have to go and hire a photographer or get stock photography of all these things. But whereas we can make our own magazine, it's at our fingertips. We have that available on our computers. So you can easily get some templates for magazines. I recommend going to graphicriver.net. And they sell templates for less than $20. And you just plug and play all the information you want, create the articles, put in your photos, that kind of thing.
So, like, for example, if you're going to do one for, let's say, a florist.
Yeah.
What's the offer? How do you start the conversation with a florist?
Okay, so this is where it really takes off. What you want to do is you want to highlight them. Like, that magazine should be mostly about them and what they've accomplished in your city. So maybe awards they're winning in their particular business, or a really amazing wedding that they did, or the story of this incredible event that they were at, and show the photos that match with that, right? So basically for them, it's a really awesome marketing piece, because they can give that for free for any potential client. And they're looking at it as, this just shows everybody how awesome my business is. But it's filled with the photos of your own photos as a photographer. And of course, somewhere in there is, you know, an about the photographer and how to reach the photographer, that kind of thing. So what you've effectively done is you've infiltrated their business, and all the work that they're putting into getting people to buy from them, they're now passing on your name to every single one of those before those people can even hit Google. This works really well with venue managers, actually, because usually before they hire the photographer, the bride and groom is looking at venues.
Yes.
So if that venue is passing on these magazines to everybody walking through their place, even if they don't end up hiring that venue, they've now walked away with, you know, five real weddings from a local photographer, and they're going to learn more about that photographer through that.
Genius. I think that's really smart, is thinking about the order in which brides, like, the workflow and just making the decision. Oftentimes they are picking the location first, and then everything else trickles down from there.
Yeah. And you're hitting them before they even get a chance to go to Google. So, you know, it's a whole different strategy. If you're trying so hard to climb up Google, what if you could get your name in front of the right people before they even went to Google?
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't even have to worry about that.
I think I'm a technologist. I mean, I run a software company. I'm the biggest tech nerd. I love all kinds of technology, but you can never forget the value of just going analog, right? When it print albums are never going away. Wall art's never going away. Magazines. Everybody said magazines are dead. They're going away. Nope. People still love that tactile experience, that personal experience of looking at it together. I think you cherry pick this. You can't do this for 30 vendors, but you could do it for a handful. Yep. And it's just a really good example of slowing down, taking the time to get to know them. You could build it out with your imagery. And I think copywriting, writing stories, all of that does take work. As I'm just kind of brainstorming how I would do this, is you wouldn't necessarily have to write much of the copy yourself. You could grab it from their site if they happen to have any. Mm-hmm. If they've ever been written up anywhere else, you can credit it and bring it in there, and just show them the mock-up and say, hey, this is what I've pulled together. I'm really excited to work with you on this. Do you have any other copy or write-ups that we can include? And now you're collaborating together on this awesome piece. It's a win-win for everybody.
That's right.
So cool. And then,
and you could interview them, you know, you can interview.
Interviews. Yeah. That's a great idea. That's such a simple way to write copy where you can just record a Skype conversation and then just have somebody transcribe that.
Perfect. And you can interview someone who's gotten married there before, someone who maybe booked another kind of a event there. Just get some testimonials plugged into this magazine, that kind of information. Maybe put a thing in there about like top five reasons why people like to book this venue. Things like that, you know, put maybe a location map of areas around there that are really good for photography. Since you're a photographer, you can contribute that to it. And so people who are getting married there can look at this map and go, oh, look, within 20 minutes, there's lots of places where we can go for our portraits, you know, things like that.
So cool.
Yeah.
Once you do this once with one vendor, I think that it's only going to get easier to do a second and a third time also. So it's not, it's a huge investment in your time. And I think one of my favorite strategies, the way to get ahead and to really compete in growing your own business is finding ways that you can invest your time into projects, to marketing projects that give you more than just a one-to-one return. It's like going to a bridal show. You get hopefully some leads from that, like within the first, like at the show or within a week after, right? But then it's it. All the time and energy. Think about how much time and energy would take you to go and set that up, to get your booth ready. You could easily do this project in probably the same amount of time, but it's going to have like an evergreen forever return. Like it'll just continue to give you value for your business forever.
Well, and not just that, Nate, like, yeah, like one thing I was going to say is that in my experience through now, I've had three different businesses at this point, and my parents have owned businesses. But the one thing I can tell you is that the biggest key, I think, to success over your competition is to do the things they're not willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to work 10 times harder than my competition to have the business that I have. But you know what? It's worth it. By doing those things that they're not willing to go to, not the things they're not willing to try for, the things they're not willing to do. I'm not competing in this, you know, bloody red water where all the sharks are fighting over the same scraps. I'm in blue water where nobody else is hanging out, and I can, you know, I can do the work that I need to do and have the customers I need and run the business I need to have.
That's great advice. I think it's a good segue. So I've been watching from a distance on this, the blood, sweat, and tears you've been working, growing your business, which is Canada Photo Convention. Tell us a little bit about that and what your mission was, and how are you going to stand out and offer something different in the convention space?
Yeah, so CPC is really, you know, a product of my own frustration as a photographer and my own struggle with all the financial problems that I had. And so when I went to different events to learn more about photography and went to workshops and talked to other people I looked up to, I would always ask them, you know, how are you getting new customers? How are you building your business? You know, what are the things we need to do? And the vast majority of them had no advice to give me besides just take really good photos and they'll tell their friends and it'll just continue, right?
Yep.
And that may be true for the top one percentile, for the really, really amazing photographers who are, you know, so incredible. But I was showing up to these things as your average Joe Schmo, hoping to learn from them, and their advice is lost on someone like me. Like, I'm not, you know, the most amazing photographer on the planet. So we need a strategy that's going to help the average people too, right? And I think that we all want to be the top one percentile, but, you know, the numbers work out, there's very few people that can be the very top of the game, right?
Exactly. So
for the rest of us, we have to be smart about how we run our businesses.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good distinction.
Yes, and so CPC is really the birth of that in a live event. So our focus at Canada Photo Convention is the business of photography. And my aim, my dream, my vision for the company is to help artists to go from the journey from being artist to entrepreneur and to learn that that's an entirely different thing and it's important for your company. And it's not scary and it can be quite fun. And I personally enjoy it. At this point, I don't call myself a photographer anymore. I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I want more people who own photography businesses to be entrepreneurs themselves, because I think that's where you get real growth in your company. And that's where you get a stability and you get more, more enjoyment out of owning your company and more pride out of it than you would if you're struggling constantly to get more sales and you're struggling to get when the next booking is coming in, and just living in that fear state and that up and down flux is just not comfortable.
Right. You're driving your business instead of your business driving you.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so all of our seminars are all focused on the business of photography.
So cool. Mm-hmm. So people, you guys can go, we'll add links in the show notes and on the blog post, CanadaPhotoConvention.com to learn more. Quite a great list of speakers. And I think there's some well-known speakers there, but what I really like in your criteria is not only is it about business, but it's about business for the average photographer. So that mm-hmm. I think a lot of times you get these superstar photographers running several hundred thousand dollar businesses every year. But there's a lot of photographers that don't have, like, yeah, it would be fun and nice to strive for, but it's not realistic. That's not what they're out to grow. And a lot of times the strategies and tactics of the superstars don't necessarily apply or relate to the businesses other photographers are growing. And you've collected a great list of speakers and educators that I think we can all relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of like, I've done this a lot when I started my conference, is I would bring in like, you know, the superhero cool kids speakers. And I think that after years of doing this, the people that I've seen really shine at the conferences are the people that are a little more on the ground level, who are newer and maybe not be the most well known, but they're creating their topic at that level. They're not creating their topic at the level of, you know, someone who's traveled all over the world and who is, you know, striving to win awards and things like that. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So the average Joe, I think, would really benefit from hearing from those kind of photographers. And I think too that you really have to, when you start your business, if you didn't start your business with $200,000 cash in the bank, let's say, like, I know almost every photographer out there did not start that way.
Right.
You start with a balance of pretty much zero in your bank and a camera in your hand. That's how most of us go. So if that is you, you have to be very creative about the way that you market and the way that you build your business, because you can't just throw money at things. So the topics that we bring into the conference are really designed for that kind of person, to learn how to do a lot with very little.
That's awesome. There's this big disconnect I found sometimes where it's like, okay, that's cool that you're doing that now, but that doesn't, like, how the heck do I get there? There's no realistic steps that a lot of speakers, they forget to outline, like, how do you eventually get there? Where do we start? So it's awesome that you've got photographers like that in mind. This was awesome, Jasser. Thank you so much for coming on today's show. It's such a valuable and an important mission you're on. So thank you for doing what you're doing in our community.
Thank you, Nate. I love doing it. So thanks a lot for having me here to discuss.
You guys, I highly recommend checking out Canada Photo Convention. Is there anywhere else they should go?
Yeah, so they could follow me on Instagram if they want. And that's just at Photo Convention. And there we share like quotes and stuff like that from the conferences. So you get little tidbits of what it's like to be there. And they could also come to our website, CanadaPhotoConvention.com. I've got my free ebook about referrals for photographers. Feel free to download that. And then from there, you're going to get my best tips about referrals.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. It was an honor. You have a great rest of the day, Jasser.
Thank you very much, Nate.
Cheers.